Good morning, church. Today I'll be reading Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. When the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, and for you know neither the day nor the hour.
We know what this slide means. It's time for our Roots kids, your parents, to take you to this side over here where you'll go to your worship time. And we'll sing a kid's song. Give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil for my lamp, I pray. Give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the judgment day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Good morning, church. Is that better? Can y'all hear me? I'm excited to be here with you this morning, and I am specifically excited to preach on this passage. I should also confess that when Steve told me he had a passage for me, and it was this parable, I was not excited. I have always read this parable, this story, this teaching with great anxiety. It kind of felt like there was a big finger pointing directly at my face saying, you better be ready or else. I can remember that feeling as a small little girl. Then as a teenager when I was reading this was just one of those stories that I would just kind of push to the side because panic would start rising up in me. I have to be ready at all times, sitting on the edge of my seat, biting my fingernails for Jesus to come. And then like most stories, most parables, most of Jesus' teachings, once I sit with it and once I spend time with it, the meaning becomes something completely different than when it was when I first started reading it. And that is specifically what happened in this story. And so I am excited to share with you what I think God has given me as wisdom within this story. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching upon me. I pray that all of the hearts and minds and ears are open in this place. And may your spirit rest thick on each individual sitting in this room. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So there's just going to be a picture that's going to pop up right behind me. These are my 10 bridesmaids for my wedding. I should also tell you that actually there's only 4 that are specifically my bridesmaids. After Steve proposed to me the next morning, we were eating breakfast together, and we only had about 3.5 months to plan our wedding. One of the very first things Steve said to me is, you have more friends than I do. You cannot put all of your friends as bridesmaids. I don't have enough guys to stand up there with me. So actually, only 4 of these women were my bridesmaids. The rest were in my wedding party. But I look at this picture, and each face in this picture And I think of all the ways that each woman has walked with me in my life over years. The two girls on either side of me, they may look kind of familiar. We may all kind of look alike. Those are my sisters. The only blonde in that group, you can probably guess, my daughter looks just like that. That's my sister-in-law. Four of my college roommates are in this picture, girls I pledged with at ACU. One of the girls in this picture has known me literally since birth. You probably recognize Jenny Thompson right there at the end, at the bottom, for those of you who are here about 7 or 8 years ago. Her and Chris were here in med school, and they came here. I've known Chris since I was born, her husband. I love these women. They showed up for me on one of the most important days in my life, and they have journeyed and walked with me in various ways throughout my life since then, on that January 1st, 2005. And I love how I started studying this scripture, and I looked at this picture, and I was like, I had 10 people with me too. Community is good. Life was meant to be lived in community. And so when I start thinking about this story and how it begins, Jesus' teaching, there are 10 bridesmaids, 10 virgins, 10 maidens, depending on what version that you're reading. And they are waiting together for the bridegroom to come and get them and take them to this awesome banquet that has been prepared for the wedding. Y'all, it is a lot of work to be in a wedding. I have been in 12 different weddings in my career of being in weddings. It started when I was 6 years old as a flower girl in one of my uncle's weddings. I have passed out programs at weddings. I have cut wedding cake. I have poured punch at weddings. I have bought more dresses and spent more money on bridesmaids' dresses than I want to care to admit to anyone in this room. I have worn awesome dresses. I have worn really ugly dresses. I have worn dresses that I have had to be sewn into and cut out of because they were measured wrong. I have done all sorts of crazy things for brides, parties, and showers, run all sorts of weird errands for them before the wedding, help them get in dresses, help them get out of dresses, help them do their hair, help them do their makeup. It is exhausting, and by the time that I get to the wedding party, I just want to sit and no one talk to me. Being in a wedding is hard. Who knows what these 10 bridesmaids had to do before they showed up at this place and said, wait with your lamp and with your oil and the bridegroom is going to come and get you. Whew, I have to do no more but sit and wait. And so to fully understand this story, I think we really need to understand who the characters are in this story. So first, you have the bridesmaids, all 10 of them. And that is us, the church, the body of Christ, Christians, believers. That is who the bridesmaids represent in this story. And then you have the bridegroom, Jesus, the Son of Man, God. And you have this amazing party that has been prepared. All you have to do is wait with anticipation and show up with your lamp and with your oil, and the party is going to be there waiting for you. And so these bridesmaids are waiting, and they don't really know how long they're going to be waiting. And the bridegroom is off settling something with the father-in-law, probably the dowry, doing all the formal things that you have to do before the party begins. And the bridesmaids are sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting. And all 10 of them get a little bit drowsy in their waiting, and they fall asleep. This is the part where all my anxiety sets in. I'm like, no, you can't do that. And they all fall asleep. And somewhere in the middle of the night, someone yells out, the bridegroom is coming. And I don't know about y'all, but when I'm startled awake, I'm trying to like feel for where everything is, and all they're supposed to have is their lamp and their oil. And when they come to and they grab their supplies, five, as the message put it, were wise, and five were silly. Five forgot to bring enough oil for their lamp in the waiting. And so the five that were wise were able to pour more oil into their lamp, and their lights were shining brightly. And then here's the other part of the story that always bothers me. Their friends looked over at them and said, we don't have enough oil. Please, can we have some of your oil so we can keep our lamps going? And their friends looked at them and said, no, you can't. I'm trying to imagine me sitting there with some of these girlfriends in this picture and me being like, I don't have enough of something. Please, can I borrow it? Them saying, mm-mm, I'm not going to share with you. You're going to have to go out and find your own oil. I'm also just going to venture to say there's not probably wasn't a 24-hour Walmart of where these girls could run out and grab oil real quick and then be back. They're trying to go out and hunt down oil from vendors who are asleep, have their stores closed. The panic that must have come over these five individuals. But the five wise were able to take their oil and pour it into their lamps, and their lights grew brightly, and they were able to leave with the bridegroom right there. And then what they had been waiting for, what they were told to wait for. And they went to this party, this banquet, follow the bridegroom, and as soon as they were in, the story says the doors shut. And somehow these five individuals who had no oil were able to scrounge it up at the last minute, and they came and they were pounding on the door. Please let us in. We have our oil. And the bridegroom said no, and the door stayed shut. Ouch. This is always the part of the story where I close my Bible and move it over and be like, I don't even know what to do with that. But here are two key players that I left out the entire time I've been reading this story. The lamp and the oil. Why are those pieces important to this story? I've always kind of read it and just kind of think these are things that they had to keep their way in the dark. But really, it's kind of the crux of what this story is talking about and why there is great joy and anticipation in the waiting part. And it wasn't that these five friends looked at their five friends and said, no, you can't have our oil because we are stingy and selfish and we keep things to ourselves. It's because they literally could not share their oil with their friends. Because the oil that we are called to have to keep our lights lit are only something that we can do for ourselves. It is loving our neighbor and speaking up for those who have no voice and growing in knowledge of our Lord through scripture reading and prayer and gathering with other believers and reminding ourselves of why we are doing this, why we are waiting. And it is not about sitting on the edge of our seats, biting our fingernails, filled with anxiety, and as I have to be on at all times because I do not know when God is coming. I have met people like that along my walk. People who are always scared, fearful of when Jesus may come back, and living a life out of fear and anxiety. And I think they miss all the really great joys in the middle of the waiting, of walking alongside others, loving those who are put in their path, seeking God and finding joy in the study and the knowledge, remembering that we are waiting with other people and we do not do this alone. And the more that I grow those virtues, those values, my lamp gets brighter and brighter for all to see. Matthew, and Jesus in Matthew, speaks about this often. Why is it important to have our lights shining brightly? And this story, it's about waiting and waiting with great anticipation, but bringing enough oil to have your lamp, your light shine brightly for all to see around you. And at the end of my life, or at the end of this journey, at the end of waiting, if I have not worked on those things, and I have not gathered my oil to keep my light shining brightly, I can't at the very end reach over to my neighbor and say, please give me some of your oil. These weren't things that I worked on. They weren't values that I grew. I can't borrow someone else's love at the 11th hour. I can't do all of my good deeds and cram them in at the last minute. They are things that I work for and do in my faith journey. And those are only things that I need right now on this side of the waiting. Because here's the really cool part about this story. The banquet's already prepared. All I have to do is show up with my light shining very bright and feeding it as much oil as I can. And that oil is loving others well, speaking up for those who don't have a voice. Jesus speaks very plainly about that in almost all of his parables about who that is. And studying God's word and growing in his wisdom. And I sit with all of you every week to be reminded of why I do that. I don't do that alone. Just like these 10 bridesmaids, they didn't do that alone. And then, after all of this anticipatory waiting, when Jesus comes, I can gather my light, my lamp, and I can say, yes, I am ready. And I can follow you right now to the banquet that has already been prepared for me and for us. And when we look at the story through that lens, it is not panic and anxiety that fills me. It is joy and mindfulness and meaningfulness in the anticipation and waiting for Christ to come. And we do not do this alone. And so this morning, may we be reminded that these are the things that are going to feed our lamps, make our lights shine brighter. And it is important to have oil. But what also are we entering into here in a couple weeks? Advent, where we are going to be waiting for the birth of Christ. We do a lot of waiting. So may we do that out of great joy for what is to come and not out of fear.